approach Jehovah in prayer now. Jehovah God, we thank you for a beautiful sunny day. We thank you for the spiritual feast we will have upon us this morning. We could be spiritually instructed by you. We ask that you have your spirit and direction upon both our visiting speaker, Brother Ma, as well as Brother Lemaire to follow with the Watchtower study. We treasure these meetings. They're very wonderful. They build us up. They keep us going. We know despite this wicked system of things we live in, these things are temporary, but it's important to take to heart the instruction we receive to help us to encourage one another, to motivate ourselves, and to continue to serve you faithfully. So please bless this meeting and bless our brothers and sisters globally on this day, wherever they may be meeting, to worship you and to praise and honor you, Jehovah. So we thank you for all these things. We ask that you bless our efforts and forgive us for our sins. We don't mean to displease you. Due to imperfection, we know we do. And we ask all these things through your loving Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So welcome, everyone, again to the Innes Congregation. We have a visiting speaker from the Aaron Mills, Mississauga Congregation. And it's Brother Ma will be presenting the theme, Move Ahead with Jehovah's Unified Organization. Brother Ma, please.
So no doubt you would agree that we live in a world with a countless amount of organizations. Even ever since the pandemic started, there's been hundreds, even thousands of organizations and groups that have been set up, even nonprofits at times, to help people. Many people, they volunteer with these organizations with good intentions. They want to be a part of something and make a difference here on earth. Maybe that's motivation, could be part of the reason why we were first baptized and dedicated to God, our love for people. However, us being a part of this organization, Jehovah's organization, involves something much bigger than just our love for people. It involves the love that we have for our God, Jehovah. Now, we as Jehovah's Witnesses can agree that whether we've been in the truth for years or we're just new or newly baptized, there is nothing compared to an organization that is set up by Jehovah. Now, our talk today is going to help motivate us and strengthen our love for this organization. We'll do that by considering three aspects of our organization. So one, how it's organized, two, its unity, and three, how it is dynamic. So let's start with that first one. How is our organization organized? Well, we know with Jehovah, he is the God of order. Think of the example of space, the stars and the planets. What do we see? Order and organization. Even though every planet and star has their own gravitational pull, each planet we see is placed in exactly the right position. And keep in mind, all of that while spinning, while rotating at thousands of kilometers an hour. We know that if they were ever off by just a slight percentage, it would be chaos and disaster. Truly, only a God that is a master at organization could accomplish an environment like space. Well, how about the environment around Jehovah? Are the heavens also organized? Let's turn in our Bibles to Daniel chapter 7. So Daniel chapter 7, we're going to be using our Bibles a lot today. Why? Because God's word gives us a glimpse into how his organization is supposed to run and function. So Daniel chapter 7 and verse 10, here we see a vision. Jehovah gives us a glimpse into the heavens. So Daniel 7, verse 10, it says, a stream of fire was flowing and going out from before him. 1,000 thousands kept ministering to him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court took its seat, and books were opened. So who were these heavenly ministers to Jehovah? Well, none other than faithful angels who were and are busy right now carrying out Jehovah's purpose. So in this verse, we see possibly hundreds of millions just in one vision. So millions of spirit creatures, including Jesus. Notice the wording there. The court took its seat. So what comes to your mind when you think of a courtroom? Well, order and organization. Everything in that room and the proceedings has its place. And that's what Jehovah is really telling us about how worship takes place in heaven. It's organized. It's orderly. Really, who else but Jehovah could keep such a vast heavenly army organized and busy over eons of time? So how does Jehovah do the same on earth? If the heavens are so precisely organized, doesn't it make sense that the earth, the earthly part of the organization, would be as well? Well, of course, but we have to look at the evidence. Let's go in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So 1 Corinthians 14. So again, this is evidence of the earthly part of the organization, how it would supposed to be run. So let's read verse 33 and verse 40. It says, "For God is a God not of disorder, but of peace." And verse 40, "But let all things take place decently and by arrangement." So isn't this something that we see in our congregations today? Jehovah has proper channels in place in order that we as publishers can receive spiritual food when we need it. Now, for many of us, the idea of having over 8 million people in unity, studying the same watchtower every week, the same education when it comes to the preaching work, wouldn't that be a daunting task? But for Jehovah, a God of order, he's made this possible and even expandable as we see constant increases in Bible students and ones being baptized. Think too about what's happening right now. Overnight, we know world conditions changed. We could no longer meet together at the Kingdom Hall, go from door to door. But just like a ship that changes course to avoid a storm, our organization quickly adjusted to meeting online, being in service from home. Through this example, we can see that we have Jehovah's backing and that everything he does is organized and orderly. No doubt we can say with confidence that Jehovah, he has the right to be responsible for an organization. So let's go to our second point now. How is our organization unified or united? And in this section of our talk, we'll see how both the heavenly part and the earthly part work together and are united. Let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14. And let's read verse 6. Says, "And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, and he had everlasting good news to declare to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation and tribe and tongue and people." So from this verse, we see that, well, the angels are involved with the preaching on earth. And this is one way that our organization, the two parts of our organization, are united. No doubt we see Jehovah wants all people to be saved, come to know him. So in our verse, we see the privilege of preaching. That's what we've been given. That's how we work together with the heavenly part of our organization. So whether a person was serving in heaven as a spirit creature or here on earth, they are going to be busy with the preaching work as their focus. So here's a question. Is it possible for two groups that are so far apart to work together at one specific task, like the preaching work? Well, are you familiar with a GPS? Think of the two parts that make up the GPS. One part, we could say, is the satellite. It's above our heads, it's in space, and it's guiding us. The second is our receiver, maybe like the GPS or, you know, in a lot of cases, our cell phone. The two are working together and communicating constantly. Well, this is how we could say Jehovah's organization works. The heavenly part of the organization is providing direction for those on earth who are carrying out that preaching assignment. Does Jehovah view that relationship the same? Let's turn in our Bibles once again to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, we're seeing the relationship between the two groups again. Let's just start in halfway down verse 9. And let's read verse 10 as well. It says, "It is according to his good pleasure that he himself purposed for an administration at the full limit of the appointed times to gather all things together in the Christ, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth." So did you notice what Jehovah's purpose is? It's Jehovah's will that the administration in the heavens would have a direct help in the preaching on earth. This gathering of true worshipers involves those who would one day serve in heaven and the millions who will enjoy life in paradise here on earth. So do you see yourself evidence of the scripture? Maybe if we could have our picture up. Have you personally experienced proof, maybe for yourself, that the angels in mid-heaven, as we just read about, are impacting your ministry? Have you seen how the angels direct you? Or have you been an answer to someone's prayer? You know, Jehovah wants us to meditate on these examples because they are modern proof of the unity in our organization, and they help to strengthen our own faith. Thanks so much for the picture. So another way that our organization, Jehovah's organization, is united is in the qualities that each member in the organization would have. So let's see if we can pick out some qualities that we should have in Ephesians chapter 4. So just over a few chapters. So Ephesians 4. Let's read verse 1 to 3. It says, "Therefore I, the prisoner in the Lord, appeal to you to walk worthily of the calling with which you were called, with all humility and mildness, with patience, putting up with one another in love, earnestly endeavoring to maintain the oneness of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace." So what qualities do we see in those verses? Well, one, humility, mildness, patience, love, peace. These qualities in these verses promote peace and unity. And when each one of us work towards these qualities, well, we have a united organization. Now, granted, it's not always easy. Our imperfect bodies sometimes resist positive changes. We're in a world that's full of pride, egotism, and divisions. Well, that's why Paul says in the verse, we need to maintain peace. Just to illustrate, think about a flower garden. Aren't they beautiful and peaceful? The colors and the smells, they really activate our senses, don't they? In fact, many people will even travel, go at a distance to see flower gardens. But behind the beauty are constant hours of maintenance. Gardeners work tirelessly to get rid of weeds and ensure the health of the garden. Now we know if someone did not put in the work, the garden would not be appealing. So in the same way, we need to constantly weed out bad qualities and nourish the good qualities in us. What's the result? Well, the uniting bond of peace. We can say with confidence that Jehovah's organization has unity, not only by just the work, the preaching work it accomplishes, but also the qualities that each member would have. So let's move on to our third characteristic of our organization. How is our organization dynamic? Well, what does that word dynamic mean? Well, constant change, maybe constant activity, progress, moving forward. So in regards to Jehovah's organization, it would always be moving, always adjusting and progressing. Now, can't we say that we can directly relate that word dynamic to Jehovah's chariot? Now, Jehovah's chariot, as you remember in the Bible, is Jehovah's heavenly organization. And we know that that chariot is on the move because it's always changing. Let's go and just review this vision, this heavenly chariot, if we go to Ezekiel chapter 1. So let's review this account, Ezekiel chapter 1. And we'll just go over a few characteristics of this chariot. So to start up the vision, let's start reading in verse 4. So Ezekiel sets up this scene. It says, "As I was looking, I saw a tempestuous wind coming from the north. And there was a huge cloud and flashing fire, surrounded by a bright light. And from the midst of the fire was something that looked like electrum." So if we see our picture on our screens here, Ezekiel sets up this scene. And we can look at that as we read some of the characteristics of the chariot. Let's go down to verse 16 and 17. So we're going to talk about the wheels. 16 and 17 says, "The wheels and their structure appeared to glow like crystallite, and the four of them looked alike. Their appearance and structure looked as though a wheel were within a wheel. When they moved, they could go in any of the four directions without turning as they went." So we see a nice description of the wheels. They could go in any direction with lightning speed. Each revolution of the wheels could cover a great distance. Now, does that not say dynamic to you? Let's go down to verse 20. It says, "They would go where the Spirit inclined them to go, wherever the Spirit went. The wheels would be lifted up with them, for the Spirit operating on the living creatures was also in the wheels." So here we learn that Jehovah's Holy Spirit would direct the speed and direction of that chariot. Who is the rider of the chariot? Let's start reading in verse 26. It says, "Above the expanse that was over their heads was what looked like a sapphire stone, and it resembled a throne. Sitting on the throne up above was someone whose appearance resembled that of a human. I saw something glowing like electrum that was like a fire radiating from what appeared to be his waist and upward. And from his waist down, I saw something that resembled fire. There was a brilliance all around him, like that of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day. That was how the surrounding brilliant light appeared. It was like the appearance of the glory of Jehovah. When I saw it, I fell face down and began to hear the voice of someone speaking." So near the end there, we see Ezekiel's reaction. He fell face down. But what an incredible vision that he could be a part of. He saw Jehovah in full control of his heavenly organization, directing its movement through his Holy Spirit. So why would you think Jehovah would provide this vision in the Bible? Well, Jehovah never wanted us to forget that we are a part of a universal organization. It helps us to have a bird's eye view, doesn't it? There's much more going on in support of Jehovah than we can see here on earth. And it's reassuring to us that Jehovah's heavenly organization is dynamic, because this constant changing and moving shows us just how much Jehovah cares about his purpose. So what evidence do we have of the earthly part of Jehovah's organization being dynamic? So we just talked about how the heavenly part is. What about the earthly part? Let's look at two evidences of this. So the first one is organizational refinements. So let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah 60. And let's read verse 17. We could say that this is a prophecy about refinement, couldn't we? So 17, instead of the copper, I will bring in gold. And instead of the iron, I will bring in silver. Instead of the wood, copper. And instead of the stones, iron. And I will appoint peace as your overseers and righteousness as your task assigners. So here we see a prophecy about how Jehovah's organization would be active. Jehovah says, you're going to see this type of refinement in my organization. Now, we know that there's nothing wrong with copper. In fact, it's very valuable today. But Jehovah says that's going to become gold. How about iron? Iron is strong. It's useful. It's needed in today's world. But Jehovah says iron is good. I'm going to bring in silver. That's even better. So this scripture tells us that his organization would constantly be refining, constantly be improving, moving forward, making progress, right in line with Jehovah's chariot. Now, isn't it true that sometimes opposers of Jehovah will criticize changes made in the organization? But just meditate for a second on how the modern congregation was formed. Now, we know in the late 1800s, there was a group of sincere, humble people, and they loved God's word. What did they do? They looked down into the scriptures, dug down to see what the Bible actually taught. They weren't scared to refine their belief system, even though at times it brought on severe opposition. So what we've seen through the years is an organization, a congregation that has constantly refined itself so that it has the most accurate understanding of the Bible. And what's resulted? Well, a congregation that most resembles the one that Jesus established in the first century. So we learn that organizational refinements, they're not a negative thing, but they're actually fulfillment of Bible prophecy. So how do you feel about refinement and change? Do you see them as a positive? Do you see them as Bible prophecy taking place? Or maybe sometimes inside, do we question changes in the congregation? Thinking, why are all these changes happening? Is Jehovah really guiding this organization like he is in heaven with the chariot? Well, just think about that GPS again. Let's say your family, they're going on a road trip. So you type in the destination and it starts guiding you. Isn't it true that when you have a destination to get to, especially one that's a little bit farther away, the directions, they start off broad and general. Maybe continue on the highway 100 kilometers, then turn left, continue 50 kilometers, something like that. But as you get closer to your destination, the directions become more frequent and more specific. Turn left in 100 meters, turn right in 50 meters. Well, the same is true with our spiritual final destination. As we get closer to the end of this system of things, directions from Jehovah will become more frequent and more specific. And we've witnessed that firsthand, haven't we? We welcome change, brothers and sisters, because it means that our organization is improving and following Jesus' direction. So a second evidence of Jehovah's organization being dynamic is the increase in numbers. So let's just go down a few verses to verse 22. Again, Isaiah chapter 60. Let's read verse 22. Says the little one will become a thousand and the small one a mighty nation. I myself, Jehovah, will speed it up in its own time. So Jehovah says here that this small group would become large as we near the time of the end. And we see that 100 years ago, remember that small group who started off in a room doing Bible study? Well, now they become over 8 million people in 240 lands. In addition, there's about 10 million more that they're teaching about Jehovah too. So those numbers, they sound impressive, 8 million, 10 million. But what's even more remarkable about them? Well, these 8 million people, they've taken membership in an organization where they give of themselves. They volunteer their time, their energy, their money, their youth. For what goal? To preach to and teach people about Jehovah. We know that this is a miracle, and it's amazing. Verse 22, if we look at it again, it says, I myself, Jehovah, will speed it up. So Jehovah is personally having a part in directing and speeding up this work here on earth. So we do see how Jehovah's organization is dynamic, how the earthly part, it's moving right along with the heavenly part. One thing is sure, though, that we realize no matter where we serve, no matter how long we've been baptized, don't we experience great joy when it comes to being a part of Jehovah's organization? So what can we expect now and into the future? Let's go to another verse here in Micah chapter 2. So as we look ahead, Micah chapter 2. Let's read verse 12. So another prophecy that will happen, that we'll see. I will certainly gather you, gather all of you, O Jacob. I will surely collect the remaining ones of Israel together. In unity, I will place them like sheep in the pen, like a flock in its pasture. It will be noisy with people. So we can learn two things from this verse. Number one, isn't that a caution a little bit, maybe? Now, it talks about sheep in a pen. We know, maybe if you've seen it for yourself, you can't have 50 or 100 sheep in a pen without bumping into each other sometimes. So if there's a spoiler alert for the congregation, it's that we're not always going to get along. But here's the question. Are we going to allow something that happens in the congregation, someone offends us in the congregation, a little bump in to another person or a run-in? Are we going to let that affect us, maybe even possibly ruin our hope for the future? We know that we have a choice. Are we going to focus on the good qualities of our brothers, or are we going to allow one bad situation to fester and affect our happiness? You know, in Micah, it says that Jehovah's sheep would be noisy with people. It can't be noisy in the congregation if we're giving someone the cold shoulder, right? We want our love to shine through in the hall, and it's going to be beautiful when Jehovah sees us as a congregation together. The second thing that we learn from that verse, notice that we're responding to an invitation that Jehovah is personally behind. We know, as we've gone through in our talk, Jehovah is directing this work and gathering these sheep-like ones. And we know as well, this rapid progress that's happening now will only accelerate with the events in the future to come. Let's look at our final verse here, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. This is a nice verse to end this talk on. 2 Peter 3. Let's read verses 8 or verses 10 to 12. It says, but Jehovah's day will come as a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, but the elements being intensely hot will be dissolved, and the earth and the works in it will be exposed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, consider what sort of people you ought to be in holy acts of conduct and deeds of godly devotion. As you await and keep close in mind the presence of the day of Jehovah, through which the heavens will be destroyed in flames and the elements will melt in the intense heat. So we need to live like we have that day of Jehovah very close in mind. We know, friends, that very soon it's Jehovah who will cleanse the earth of all of this wickedness. There's only going to be one organization left. Now, we've seen in this talk how our organization, Jehovah's organization, is unified and dynamic. So are we keeping up to that chariot, moving with whatever direction it goes? We need to act now. And when we respond to changes in a positive way, we show Jehovah that we're united as a congregation. So let us not serve Jehovah just stagnantly, but let it be a resolve to please Jehovah and serve him by moving ahead with his organization.
Thank you, Brother Ma, for coming all the way up the 401 virtually to our congregation to give a fine discourse and reminding us the importance of appreciating Jehovah's organization, how it's unified, how it's moving ahead, and how important it is to stay with that chariot.